Pray with me.
Good and gracious God, may the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, our rock and our redeemer.
Amen. To be there
where the birth of your child is an amazing, powerful experience. And that joy that you experience when your child comes into the world is much greater than the painful labor it took for that child to be here. Disciples are focused on the temple buildings, but Jesus predicts to them that these things will fade away. The temple, the place where they gather to worship God, will be destroyed. And Jesus was right. The temple was destroyed in 70 AD. Jesus tells us, when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. This must take place, but the end is still to come. He says, nations will rise up against nations. There will be earthquakes in various places and famines. Now, from the historical sources, we know that Mark's church, who first heard this gospel, would have experienced those very things. During the years of siege of Jerusalem, stories spread about popular messiahs, prophets carrying out woes to the city and to the temple. There were wars and rumors of wars for the better part of 10 years. And the Jewish historian Josephus reports portents, including brilliant daylight in the middle of the night. Josephus also talks about the great earthquake in Jerusalem in 67 AD. And given what has happened in the past couple centuries and what is happening in our own lifetime with natural disasters, wars, and rumors of wars, we can confidently say that we are still living in the birth pangs. The disciples place their focus on the buildings of God's house and not the true temple. The true temple, Jesus Christ, is to whom we gather for, to be in the presence of God. In the person of Jesus Christ, the Word is made flesh. God tabernacles with His people. It's in Christ Jesus, the temple that was destroyed but risen 3 days later, that we find the presence of God. Now, we can't really blame the disciples for seeing such a majestic sight and getting caught up in the moment. There are plenty of people who have visited our church and talked about the beauty of it. But do we sometimes get caught up in the church building? So much that we forget this is a meeting place for Jesus' church, His people, and nothing more. Do we put too much focus on maintaining the building and put less focus on the ministries of God? Instead of trying to find ways to draw people into the church, should we put more focus on going out into the community? To make things worse, Jesus tells the disciples right after this passage that, hey, following me is going to cause you to get beaten in the synagogues. Oh, and you're going to be hated by people in my name. That sounds nice, right? Okay, Jesus, sign me up for that. Now, we live in a country where we have the freedom to gather and worship. We don't have to risk our lives to come here to gather as one, to be in the presence of Christ in word and sacrament. Yet too many times we treat this as some optional thing, part of the menu of other things that we can do on Sunday. We don't have to risk our lives to come to church. That does not mean there aren't costs in our lives to follow Jesus. For some, it may mean moving away from friends and family to go where God calls us. Following Christ might cost you some friendships, may cause you tension with people you care about, or may cost you your own security or safety to proclaim the gospel, to seek God's justice and peace in the world. But Jesus never said Christianity were for the wimps. All our struggles, all our natural disasters and famines, all our sufferings, they're just the birth pangs. What Jesus reminds us is it's temporary. He reminds us that what we really need to worry about or speculate is not to speculate about when Christ will return, but to be rest assured that He will, and to be prepared when He does. To be prepared for Jesus Christ, who will judge the world and set all things right, is to continue to keep the faith, to endure during our struggles. Being prepared is to continue to proclaim the gospel boldly out into the world, to let others know that Jesus matters. And being prepared is intentionally being in the moment each day with Christ. Being prepared is drawing on that moment long ago when there was a splash in the baptismal font. Being prepared is gathering as God's people to receive Christ at His holy table. Being prepared is to encounter the risen and crucified Lord Jesus Christ in the many ways He shows up in our lives today. And the studying of Scripture, the hearing of the gospel, the gathering for Bible study, the going out into the community are the ways that we are transformed by Christ's presence and are prepared. In these day-to-day encounters, Jesus comes now and prepares us for when He will come again. He prepares us to be walking, living, breathing love in the world. He prepares us to be His people of faith, hope, charity, compassion, love. Despite our trials as Christians, despite our sufferings in this world and what the world would like to tell us, Jesus the Christ is the King of Kings. He is the one in control. He is the one who will return to judge the living and the dead. And He has the authority and power to bring judgment on the sin of this world. And He has the authority in our lives to give us true life. So may we hold on to Christ through faith and endure during the birth pangs of this world, trusting and knowing that they won't last forever. The birth pangs of this life will dim in comparison to the amazing, extravagant, foolish, abundant, eternal joy we will experience when Christ returns. When Christ returns, we will forget about the birth pangs and simply live in the new age of God's love and His peace. Amen.